around the 47-yard line. Bills in shotgun again. Josh gets it, looks, gets away from pressure, rolls to the right sideline, fires it downfield, got a man wide open, caught. Dawson Knox makes a catch at the 15, cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Dawson Knox got open. Josh Allen prolonged the play, and the Bills cash in on two plays to take another touchdown. Wow!
Wow is right. During last week's show, I said, yeah, I'll pick the Bills to beat the Chiefs when they show they can beat the Chiefs. And then the Bills went out and beat the dog out of the Kansas City Chiefs to perhaps stake their claim as the best team in the AFC. And granted, other people have matching records. And there are some that say that nobody is playing better football right now than the Buffalo Bills, even though there is a team in Arizona that has yet to lose a single game. But that's the voice of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy. And it's bad on me that this is the first time that his dulcet tones have made the NFL report lineup in regards to highlights from the previous week. But I don't think anyone can question that Buffalo's playing as well as any other team in the National Football League right now, and you might be hard-pressed to find anybody that would be leading in the clubhouse as a potential most valuable player than Bills quarterback Josh Allen. But we welcome you to week six of the National Football League season. 5 weeks in, we are approaching a third of the way through the campaign, but there is a lot to get to. We have now hit, and this is, of course, if you have not set your fantasy lineup, you do have games going on right now, as once again, there's activity in London. Miami leads Jacksonville 7-3 as they play in the first, but you have two teams in London in action right now, and you have four teams that aren't going to be in action at all as we've hit the first round of open dates. I know the NFL calls them bye weeks. Byes happen in tournaments. This is an open date. But anyhow, welcome to the NFL Report. We're at Carino's on the Parkway in Pigeon Forge. If you're headed to Pigeon Forge, you're going to have company today. And that's a good thing because it is a gorgeous day to be out and about. It's crisp. It's a fantastic morning. And as you are making your way in, you'll see a number of people that have already had their time in Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, and the Smoky Mountains that are now making their way back. But Tyler Ivins, welcome back to the panel. How are you?
Hat tip, Terrell Davis, and even salute to both of you gentlemen. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. I don't know
former
what
former Bronco, former Jet, Terrell Davis.
That's why I'm trying to get all that in there, because I'm not going to get too many Jets references after they left everything they wanted to leave over in jolly old England. You're going to think this is weird, but I'm glad to see that Brian and I both got the memo this morning. There's no better weather in East Tennessee than long sleeves and shorts.
That's right.
Long sleeves and shorts, John Wilkerson. Because you give me long sleeves and shorts, guess what? You're here for both sides of the party, and you don't know what's going
to
happen.
That's right. There's just something to be said for knowing that, okay, got to protect the heart, but everybody else is ready to party.
My man right there. Double clicks with the thumb finger guns. There you go, brother.
So, Tyler Ivins a part of the conversation this morning, as is Brian Rice. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. As I pointed out to you, John, and shout out to people sitting in traffic, just be careful. Give the people in front of you and behind you a little bit of room if you are leaving the Great Smoky Mountains. Somebody in front of where we are today did not have such great morning in the left-hand lane, so be careful.
That's why they had the pressure washer. Just now noticed that. Good call, Brian Rice.
Be careful as you leave wherever you are this morning. Leave a little extra room because getting there 30 seconds quicker is not worth potentially having a long delay while your car is repaired.
Yeah, well, this is an NFL show. You never know when the guy in front of you or a person in front of you is going to check up.
This BS yes. brought to you by Brian Rice and the Brian Rice people for the Brian Rice of Traffic Sevierville.
It's really good, man. These PSAs you get delivering on Sunday mornings are really solid stuff.
Yeah, my PSA from last night didn't get the same response, but that's okay. I digress.
Yeah. Again, this is an NFL show.
Yes, sir.
So why don't we start by running through what happened in Week 5 around the National Football League. You go back to Thursday, October 7th, and that's the Rams over the Seahawks, 26-17. You then make your way to the game one of two this year in London, and it was Atlanta holding off the New York Jets 27-20. In overtime, Green Bay finally got one through the uprights as the Packers beat the Bengals 25-22. Minnesota became the second team to beat Detroit with a long, long field goal, 19-17, as the Vikings keep the Lions out of the win column. Pittsburgh the not-so-good Steelers beat the not-so-good Broncos, and they did so decidedly, 27-19 in a game that wasn't that close. It was Tampa Bay roughing up Miami 45-17 as Tom Brady just continues to roll. More than 400 yards passing, 5 touchdown passes. Father Time is indeed undefeated, but he's having to circle the block with Tom Brady. New Orleans beat Washington 33-22. He had touchdowns for VFLs everywhere wearing the black and gold of the Saints. It was the Eagles knocking off the Panthers 21-18. Fine win on the road for the Eagles. The Titans did not suffer the first loss to Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another huge day for Derrick Henry in regards to what he means to that team. He's getting a lot of perhaps MVP consideration, but the Titans 37, Jacksonville 19. Tennessee will never, ever feel bad about leaving Jacksonville with a win. Patriots had to rally, but did rally and beat the Texans 25-22. It was the Bears handing Las Vegas a loss 20-9, back-to-back losses for the Raiders after winning their first three, and another significant loss for the Raiders. They now have a different head coach moving forward. It was the Chargers outscoring Cleveland 47-42. It's the first time I've ever seen a defense pull a guy into the end zone as they have pushed the offensive player into the end zone.
Give me all those points.
There you go.
All of those Austin Eckler points.
Yes. It was raining down as 3 touchdowns for Eckler. Chargers would be a team that would be in that conversation as to who's the best in the AFC. Cowboys are rolling 44-20 as they more than double up the New York Giants. Arizona remains unbeaten, beating Trey Lance and the 49ers 17-10. Buffalo, as we open with the call of John Murphy, 38-20 the final in KC. And do you know how many teams have given up fewer points than the Kansas City Chiefs in the National Football League?
0.
All of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the reverse of your question. I misunderstood your question. I apologize.
But nobody has given up more. The Chiefs are indeed number one in points allowed.
John Wilkerson knew what I was doing if I had the wrong Wi-Fi password. He still gave me access. He knew what was going on.
And then it was Baltimore in overtime. A furious rally by the Ravens. The Colts did everything they could to win that game. They failed to finish. Lamar Jackson, 442 yards passing. If I'm not mistaken, his second game ever of throwing for more than 300 yards took place this season. Now 442 yards passing. He also was the rushing leader with 62, and then Mark Andrews was Mark Andrews. They were they just would not lose to the Colts, and they did not. In overtime, 31-25. I would have hated to be somebody who had a lengthy parlay that had the Ravens winning by 7, and they won by 6. Wouldn't that be awful to be sitting next to somebody who potentially might have had that as the last team on your multi-game parlay? I'm just speaking randomly. We then move to the Thursday game of this week. It was Tampa Bay beating Philadelphia 28-22. The Bucs go on the road. The defending world champs continue to look world champy as they beat the Eagles 28-22. And they did a pretty nice job containing Jalen Hurts, who has been playing some awfully good football for the Eagles. But all of that is what has unfolded since we last have been here on the panel for the NFL Report. So, Brian Rice, what would have been your game of the week for last week?
I want to give credit to the Bills for their win over the Chiefs, the answer to the question is the Chargers over the Browns. You mentioned it was a scoring fest. I really like what Justin Herbert's doing with the LA Chargers, but also the Browns are starting to live up as well to the hype there. But anytime a team comes up with a 26-point fourth quarter, you know you have stumbled upon one of those special games that does not come across that often.
I don't think there's any question. And that's what we've seen. I'll say this, for those that play numbers, Tyler Ivins, I don't think – now, granted, not every game. I'm just going to say a majority of games. But there are so many instances where if over total points in the fourth quarter is available, so many are taking the opportunity to cash in.
And why not? Because it seems like all the reservations of playing – scared football is not the response I'm looking for, but kind of playing the cautionary tale of play calling, that kind of goes out the window. To your point, to what you saw in the fourth quarter between Cleveland and Los Angeles, I say happened just the very next evening between Indianapolis and Baltimore. You go into that game where the Colts were leading 25-9 going into the fourth quarter, and what ends up happening? Lamar Jackson, let's go 15 more yards down the field. Mark Andrews, all of a sudden your routes are getting 10 to 12 more yards deeper down the field. John Wilkerson, it's 25-9. Anybody who's got a Colts money line ticket or anybody who likes the +7 side of things, it ends up working out in overtime because we know how it plays out, but you felt pretty comfortable at least with the start of the fourth quarter, to your point.
Yeah, would have. I mean, and they had a great game plan against the Ravens.
They just did.
Could not stop Baltimore.
True story.
All was said and done.
Fell asleep with a minute to go in the third quarter, and I said, I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and this is going to be a heck of a win for Frank Wright and Carson Wentz. Well, Tyler, you should have stayed awake at least 16 more game minutes because this is how it's going to play out. And they had to go to overtime, which, by the way, say what you will about what Baltimore did. Indianapolis had a chance to win that game. Shank field goal sends it to overtime, and then Baltimore gets extra life, and we see how it played out.
By my quick check of the scoreboard, 9 NFL games last weekend, the fourth quarter was the highest scoring quarter. 9
Mercy.
Of the games last weekend. That's
a trend.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like leaving the movie before you find out who the bad guy is. That's on me, boys. I'm sorry.
9. Unless I miscounted.
Listen,
but
here,
it's at least 8.
Listen here, Ed Rooney. If you're going to sit here and count how many times fourth quarter gets out of hand, then you're going to have yourself one heck of a day off. You see what I did there?
Uh-huh.
You see what I
like
did
it.
There?
See what
I did there?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I like it.
Bad takes. Andy's booing me about my jokes. Okay, we'll talk at 12:31 when the show's over.
But going back to Browns Chargers, the Chargers, they have one loss on the season,
right.
And you've got a quarterback in his second season along with a running back in Eckler, and you've got actually a great supporting cast. I mean, you look at the receivers. One thing that stands out right now, what's different about the Chargers, almost everybody's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times it's, oh, look, you just lost Keenan Allen. Oh, look, you just lost fill in the blank. So I think right now Justin Herbert is enjoying life as he should because, after all, you're in L.A.
My best friend from San Diego, diehard Chargers fan. After the game was over last week, I was walking out the front door because I had taken the game in together. He walks me out to my car, and I go, dude, you better be happy. I said, if Kansas City loses tonight to Buffalo, all of a sudden, it's kind of a wild card of who's going to win the AFC. And he goes, talk to you in 3 weeks when Keenan Allen and Derwin James are on the IR. And I said, just like Murphy's Law. He goes, just like Murphy's Law. Talk to you tomorrow. He's just waiting for it to happen confidently. He can't be excited that the two teams that we just watched just combined for 90 points, boys. He can't be excited that they just beat the Cleveland Browns, who many had as a sexy ticket to go to the Super Bowl. John, as anybody, somebody like you who follows the AFC West, man, I don't know what's happening in the AFC West right now, but I can tell you one thing. It's week 6, and we're not talking about Kansas City being at least the runaway favorite to not only win that division, but they're not only now the runaway favorite to win the conference, and here come the Chargers all of a sudden.
Yes, they're right there in the thick of it, and I'll say this. I think the Chiefs have the best chance to also be in the playoffs. I expect them to be in the playoffs. I think they'll find a way to get things corrected. I don't have anywhere near the faith in the Raiders or the Broncos to still be, we'll say, worthwhile as we get down the stretch.
Raiders, I get it. Broncos, is that because of Bridgewater's concussion or just Denver in general?
Well, they just don't win. I mean, that's it. And that's a big part of it. They don't do what it takes to win. At some point in time, you might realize that if you cover Chase Claypool, you have a chance to get a victory. But since they haven't done it now 2 years in a row,
sure,
that's how you, being a bad team, loses to another bad team,
sure,
and you do so badly. At some point in time, if you don't see the sucker at the poker table, guess what? You're the sucker.
Man, it's almost like you were looking over my shoulder Friday night. You could at least said hey to me if you were going to watch me from across the room.
No, but I just think that that while Denver has some nice pieces, they don't have enough. And that's all I have to say about that. So in terms of, though, what the Ravens are doing, they're one of the teams that are 4-1. You have, I believe, 7 teams that are 4-1. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they are a team that is going to be dealt with. I do think that the Chargers are right there in that mix, getting back long detour that I took to what we saw. Just an incredible showdown between the Chargers and the Browns. And we find out that Baker Mayfield's been playing with a partially torn labrum.
You know what? If the guys try to find ways for me to start giving him more respect stripes, he's earning them. Granted, it's his non-throwing shoulder, but boys, I don't see us going out there playing radio with a torn labrum and our non-throwing shoulder. I'd probably have to put a sling on and take 6 to 8 weeks anyway, right? Unless one of you guys are working as an engineer or a co-host with a torn labrum, then I apologize.
He has to take hits on that shoulder regardless.
That's and very fair.
He is much tougher of a man than I.
He's more than just Baker Mayfield living at First Energy Stadium with all of his crazy commercials.
Wonderful commercials. The one with the trick or treat with the nachos.
Here, honey, can you hold this? He starts pumping the cheese. Oh, yeah. Man.
just made their Halloween.
I just don't have to use stadium bathrooms all the time.
Really?
No.
Dude, last year at Thanksgiving when he's deep frying the turkeys inside the fryers. Yeah. I mean, come on. They're pretty creative. Here's the thing. It's so funny because last night was Checker Nealand, and then you had the Oklahoma game where Baker was here, and I want to hate Baker Mayfield, but the more I watch him and the more I watch Cleveland Browns football and I just see the way he acts off the field and he's not become a total punk like a lot of us assumed he would once he got to the NFL, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but maybe perhaps he's starting to grow on me a little bit. And clearly right now there are a lot of Cleveland fans who are looking at what's happening right now with the Browns, and they're saying the same thing. So, good for them. I can't believe, but the Browns are playing good football right now, so good for them.
And with those two teams, the Browns right now have two losses, and when you have somebody who's trying to play through that, you never know how quickly it might be somebody else's turn to play quarterback, but can that team compete? So many had them as not only in a playoff spot, but winning the North. What do you think in terms of the ability to do this? That you're already short Jarvis Landry, and he's somebody that, while not irreplaceable, he's somebody who's pretty important. And now you're going into this game without Nick Chubb.
Bad calf for Chubb. You got to like what your backup option is in Kareem Hunt. Here's something else I'm noticing as well, though, boys. I watched that drive down the stretch with no Jarvis Landry. Did Cleveland forget they have Odell Beckham on their team? I'm serious, and I don't mean that from a fantasy standpoint of how many targets is Beckham getting. I'm going to trade him now. But, guys, it just seems like this offense, if it's not running through Hunt and Chubb, they're kind of stuck in neutral. There's a reason why they lead the league in rushing every year or near tops. I never thought there was an offense that would leave me puzzled like Kevin Stefanski's, because it seems pretty easy. But you know what, boys? I don't know what's going on right now, but it seems right now Cleveland's got to find more options than what they have in the backfield.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, you know, I think they have to try to find a way to keep things together while Chubb's out, to keep things together while Landry's out. If you can keep things together, because, I mean, they still have a winning record at this point. They are still right in the thick of it. I don't know that anybody else in their division, other than the, of course, Ravens, scares you to the point where you can't overcome a few weeks of doubt. Now, it remains to be seen how long they're out. But I think the Browns are talented enough top to bottom, going toe-to-toe with the Chargers despite some of their deficiencies last week, I think gives you some hope there. But ultimately, I think they look at themselves and say, we're a good football team. We just have to persevere through this. They go back and see where they had some clear missed opportunities towards the end of that game to try to move forward from it.
That's Brian Rice. I'm John Wilkerson with Tyler Ivins. Tyler, what would be your game of the week for last week?
I was kind of previewing it there, poking around a little bit. Monday Night Football between Indianapolis and Baltimore. If I go to bed and I know the outcome only to be woke up and go, oh, I'm sorry, it didn't play out that way, you're probably going to get the honors too. Because before you even asked to do the show this week, you came to me and said, hey, you want to do the show? I thought to myself, well, this is pretty easy. If John asked me to do the show next week, I'm just going to say Monday Night Football. Look, I want to say that the Colts can win with Carson Wentz and unlock what some people saw in Carson Wentz before that knee injury in Los Angeles. I love having this conversation because Carson Wentz, to me, was going to be the league MVP 3 years ago before he tore his knee up in that Sunday game against Los Angeles. And it seems since coming back from that ACL tear, we haven't seen anywhere close to the Carson Wentz that we thought that they were going to be getting in Philadelphia. Frank Reich, though, can find a way to help this guy unlock whatever's missing or he left behind in Philadelphia. They just can't put it together. And I'm still surprised, guys, because as much as everybody in this league wants to talk offense, look how sexy this quarterback looks to this receiver. Indianapolis is a pretty darn good defense. And it looked like they were going to hold Lamar Jackson at bay, but as John Wilkerson did. He opened up the show talking about the 400-plus yards Lamar Jackson had. And if you allow a former MVP to get over 400 Bills, boys, there's a good chance you're going to end up on the losing side of a scoreboard.
No, late in games is why teams that are elite in the NFL and have elite players
right.
are so dangerous and end up piling up points and wins as the year goes on, because you can have a really good three-quarter effort against yep. them. But special players are the difference in the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson was clearly the difference in that fourth quarter. It was the difference throughout the game. But you can hold people at bay for so long, but eventually they've worn you down. Lamar Jackson's a kind of guy who can wear you down in a lot of different ways. He's looking for that just crack in the door for you to kick in, and that's exactly what he did in the fourth quarter Monday night.
Yeah, and for him to not just be capable as a passer, but to now put up the numbers that he is, that's just something that bodes awfully well for Baltimore. And when you consider that this was team torn ACL, I mean, you had two players, one offense, one defense, went down back-to-back plays as they're getting ready for the season. You had lost a running back even before that. So to see John Harbaugh doing what he's doing with Baltimore and just having him in this position, and credit Lamar Jackson because of the work that he's done. He's been working with Tom House, who is known for what he has been, a great pitching coach for years and years and years, after being the pitcher in the bullpen who caught Hank Aaron's 715th home run. Anyhow, he's now working with quarterbacks.
Jonathan Wilkerson.
So it really is something to see that Lamar Jackson has put in the work. And while there were, I mean, I think it was that he had more touchdowns in the third quarter, or as many touchdowns in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter as he had incomplete passes.
You know, when you look at Lamar Jackson, where he's come, you know, this is a guy, remember, in the run-up to the draft, some people suggested he should just switch to receiver. I think Lamar Jackson has looked at the trajectory of other quarterbacks who have a similar skill set to his and has realized that you have two paths. You have the develop your passing game path, and you can be a long-term starter in the NFL.
Sure.
Or you can accentuate what you do well with running the football, and you will have a really good 4 or 5 years, and then what makes you special is the first thing that drops off, and then you're a backup. So Lamar Jackson has gone in, and he's worked consistently to become a better passer, to become a pass-first guy, not a run-first guy, and in doing so has improved himself and has improved his team quite a bit.
Will you humor me real quick, John? May I bring a little TSL flavor to the NFL report?
Go right ahead.
We've already brought up Josh Allen in Buffalo this morning. We've already brought up Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. And now here we are touching on Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Needless to say, the other two first-rounders from that year, Rosen and Darnold, don't need to be a part of this conversation. Gentlemen, start, bench, cut those three quarterbacks I just brought up. Allen, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson.
For one game, one season, or to lead
Make
your franchise?
It your own. Make it your own.
To lead your franchise for years forward, I start Allen, I bench Mayfield, and I cut Jackson.
So we're still cutting Lamar Jackson despite all this hype right now.
For one season or for one game, I start Lamar Jackson, I bench Josh Allen, and I cut Baker Mayfield.
John?
My answer would be start Allen, bench Jackson, cut Mayfield.
Okay. So –
in both scenarios.
So Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield are close. My question to you is, if you put Lamar Jackson in Cleveland, is Cleveland without question a runaway favorite for the Super Bowl?
I have Jackson closer to Allen than I do Mayfield.
Wow. Thank you for clarification. Okay.
I do as well. My concern with him, with building your franchise around him, is what I was talking about, that he develops into a very good passer,
okay,
but not necessarily a great passer, and when the mobility in year 4, 5, 6 of his career tails off, maybe the other two are a better option. But again, if that doesn't happen, then Lamar Jackson is poised to be perhaps the premier quarterback in the NFL for years to come. But he's got some pretty good competition with Josh Allen. Baker Mayfield continues to develop and continues to mature, and I like everything he does as well. You can't go wrong with any of the three of them.
Three AFC quarterbacks, John, where, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Get ready to go through Kansas City and Pat Mahomes for the next decade. Well, there are three quarterbacks in three different AFC franchises who beg to differ, and right now they're all showing that they can still win football games.
They can, and I will say this. I do think that Monday night, Carson Wentz did everything he could to help his team win.
Yeah.
both Wentz and Jackson had a fumble that was lost, so they each had a turnover. Carson Wentz, quarterback rating 128.5, two touchdowns, 402 yards passing. 442 yards for Jackson, four touchdowns. Quarterback rating 71.3 for Jackson, 64 for Wentz. The fact that he missed essentially the entire preseason, I think you're seeing him start to benefit sure. from being able to play with his receivers and things like that. And T.Y. Hilton comes back today. You take on the Texans. This is must win. It was pretty much must win on Monday, and you were in a great position to do exactly that. You didn't. Your defense let you down, especially right. on the back end where you got hit hard by injury. But I do think that there is still, since there are 17 games this year, there's just a tiny bit of wiggle room for Indianapolis. We'll see exactly what they do and whether or not Marlon Mack gets traded, because with injuries around the NFL, he's somebody, especially when you look in Kansas City.
Especially in Kansas City.
That's right. We will see where he perhaps winds up. But Baltimore going great guns at 4-1. Indianapolis scratching its head 1-4. We'll get a break. We've got more coming your way, as today we are on the Parkway in Pigeon Forge and at a wonderful locale, one of our favorite places, and that is here at Carino's, because goodness gracious, it is just it is so worth it. Located on the Parkway, authentic Italian restaurant. They've got all the favorites you want with a little added spice. They've got their classics, one-of-a-kind spiced Italian favorites. All their offerings handcrafted from the finest, freshest ingredients available. Whether you're craving Italian comfort food like their 16-layer lasagna or something with a little more spice like their famous Italian nachos, Johnny Carino's has something for everyone. You can check them out at www.carinos.com, and don't forget to take advantage of the coupons in the Knox County school coupon book for Carino's, as well as all of the wonderful diverse concepts locales that are in the Sevierville and Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg portion of the Knox County school coupon book. We have more coming your way on the NFL report on 99.1 the Sports Animal.
Alvin Kamara is to Jameis's right. He's in the shotgun. Snap. Looking to pass, looking to the near side, and that is Marquez Callaway, and that is a touchdown. Spin the football, Marquez. Touchdown, Saints. First and 10 of the 23. Snap to Jameis. Handoff up the middle goes Alvin Kamara. Breaks a 10, 5. Touchdown, Alvin Kamara. He busted through that hole, and nothing but green and pink in front of him. Pink being the end zone.
That is the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, as you heard, just a little montage. There were even more highlights that we could have included, but that was just a couple of the scores that were provided by VFL's wearing the fleur-de-lis, as the Saints were able to come away with a win last week. And you have Marquez Callaway, who just continues to carve out a pretty nice place for himself with New Orleans. The undrafted free agent is now, I think, going into a favorite target, a potential favorite target, at least a trusted one for one Jameis Winston. But you had Alvin Kamara with 71 yards rushing and a touchdown. And then he also had a touchdown reception with 5 catches, 51 yards. Callaway, 4 catches, 85 yards. 85 yards leading the Saints, 2 touchdowns, including a Hail Mary that was unbelievable. So 4 touchdowns for VFLs for Nolans.
I remember when Marquez Callaway only had a 1 beside his fantasy ownership. Fantasy ownership, 1% Marquez Callaway. Now we're getting Marquez Callaway in the 65-70 range. My boy's growing up on me, and unfortunately, when I'm playing fantasy out of state with a bunch of buddies in Iowa, they're like, hey, Ovens, who's this Marquez Callaway guy? You don't touch that Marquez Callaway guy, because I'm taking him in the 12th round. I'm going to see Quez is carving out a niche for himself down in the Big Easy. Good for the Saints and good for Marquez Callaway.
What did we say about Jameis Winston at the start of the season? If Sean Payton can fix the consistency issues that have plagued Jameis Winston his entire career, where he's just as likely to throw an interception as he is a touchdown.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, look at the stat sheet. 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. If this is what he does for the remainder of the season, then I think the Saints are still a very, very dangerous team in the NFC.
May I play devil's advocate?
Yes.
5 of those came in week 1 against Green Bay where they thrashed him. So since week 1, it's 7-3 touchdown to interception ratio. You still have faith in Jameis Winston? You still have faith in Sean Payton to be able to keep this consistency moving?
It's still only 3.
In a career that we've seen that, it's yes. very much,
that's
I agree
a
with
half.
You. Yeah. Now you're.
There were a lot of halves where Jameis Winston in Tampa threw three interceptions. He might have also thrown three touchdowns. He might have also thrown zero touchdowns.
Brian C. Rice, you're not wrong.
But three in the, to the season at this point is the stat for Jameis Winston, in my opinion.
I do believe that you continue to see him, as you point to, Brian, just growing. And I do think that there are still hurdles to clear, but I think this is by far the best that he's played in realizing that he has to lead the franchise. And not that he's ever shied away from anything in that regard. I just think he's in much better position to. And I also think that you have some influences there in New Orleans that maybe weren't there, or perhaps he wasn't in a position where he let himself listen to other voices.
It's not only that for me, too, but it seems to me Jameis Winston understands this to him is the ultimate tryout. You have a chance not only to be the starter in New Orleans for 2021, boys, but you have a chance for them to extend you and keep you around for some time because Jameis is active on social. Jameis, in some way, shape, or form, have been asked questions without him being directly asked. Gentlemen, what happens with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? And we already know if there's any, you know, say, listen to all the different guys, the Dan Grazianos, the Dan Orlovskis, the national talking heads. New Orleans could be a hot spot next year for a potential Pro Bowl, all-pro quarterback who wants to leave his current location. And Jameis Winston, if he wants to keep a job past 2021, would behoove himself to really get entwined with Sean Payton, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think this is – they are building, again, a great offense that can – if it can operate that efficiently with Jameis Winston, who has had his issues,
yes,
then it can operate efficiently with anybody. And I think if you are a quarterback who is looking for a new locale, I mean, Matt Stafford going to L.A., if you're somebody who feels like your talent has not been utilized and or developed, the Saints provide a great supporting cast that is, at least at this point, certainly for Alvin Kamara, locked in for some time to come.
Very true.
I will go with my game of the week. Doesn't always mean it was a great game, but it was a great performance, and that would be the Sunday night contest, Buffalo beating Kansas City 38-20. I thought, I'm not going to take the Bills super seriously until they find a way to beat Kansas City, which, again, we said the same. I said the same thing about Baltimore earlier this year, and the Ravens did so as they ended a four-game losing streak to Kansas City. I don't think there's any question that the Chiefs have been hit by injury, as a number of teams have. They also lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire during this contest. But for Buffalo to actually rally for the 38-20 win, because Kansas City scored first with a field goal, the thing that stands out is you can say, and we, as I already have, nobody in the NFL has given up more points this year than Kansas City. But to me, what you need to focus on is the fact that we see an approach now to defending what has been an unstoppable attack. You saw Baltimore do it. You saw Buffalo do it even better, and that is dropping safeties to make sure that Tyreek Hill does not beat you deep and being very physical with Travis Kelce off the offensive line. If he is delayed by any way, shape, or form, that gets them off rhythm, and you take the favorite target for Patrick Mahomes, essentially, not out of the playbook entirely, but you make it life more difficult for all involved. And that's what Buffalo did. It wasn't the fact that the defense allowed 38 points. To me, it was the offense only scored 20, and they continue to turn it over. I mean, these are things, Brian, that we just have not seen Kansas City do. And Patrick Mahomes has as many interceptions this season as he had in 2020. And I'm not saying it's anything he's doing wrong. I just know that we've seen quarterbacks like him where you have so much ability and then your team hits a rough patch. It falls on you that if there's going to be a play to be made, you have to make it. And he is a marvelous playmaker. I just think right now, even though some of the decisions with behind-the-back passes and with the left hand as opposed to the right hand, all of these things, I just think there are too many holes that he has to find and dig himself out of that right now are a little bit beyond his capability, and that is a very short list.
You know, I look at Patrick Mahomes, and one of the great things about him over the last few years has been his approach and his calm persona and his ability to maximize what everybody else around him does. Those are the things you aren't seeing right now. You're not seeing him be the calmest guy in the room. You're seeing him maybe panic a little bit. I think Andy Reid's got to go with him and figure out how to take a deep breath. Let's have a reset on the season. Let's have a reset on everything. Are the expectations getting to him? Is he trying to prove everybody wrong after losing the Super Bowl last year? What are all these things you're trying to do? It's like he was broken on the field in the Super Bowl, where we started to see some of these uncharacteristic things pop up, and then he's never gotten past that. And that's something that they all have to address together, because this is still a really good football team. But it does not play like a really good football team all the time like we're accustomed to it doing over the past few years.
They are going to win their fair share of is whoever finishes with the most points. And because there aren't still, Tyler Ivins, that many teams that can keep up with Kansas City's pace. But when you have, again, the opportunity to defensively create a problem, that's where you start to even the landscape. And there are a handful of teams that are right there in the same zip code as Kansas City, where over the last couple of years, they've really been just sitting atop the mountain or atop the flagpole, even though that's where the wind blows the hardest.
You know, you bring up a great point there, and I want to go back to something I just said. You know, I was kind of poking fun at the Grazianos and the Orlovskis of the world. You know who does a really good job? And that's Mina Kimes, and she pointed something out this week that I thought was quite interesting. I was watching her and Merkin Spears go back and forth on NFL Live, and she said, the one thing I've noticed in that game Sunday night between Buffalo and Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes, they refer to him as a magician because on the fly, no matter what breakdown defensively, he can just make a play, something out of nothing. It's like, how does a guy do something like that because he sees the field so well? The defenses that are now going out there are now eliminating the magic from Pat Mahomes, where if a play's broken, somewhere, shape, or form, he can find where the zipper's broken, and he'll, oh, you messed up by blitzing too early. There's my opening if I give myself four extra seconds. Now defenses, if there is a broken play or there is a breakdown defensively, they always have one reserve that keeps Pat Mahomes from creating that magic. And what did you see from Buffalo Sunday night? They created they ceased magic from being created, and perhaps maybe this magician title, now that it's on film, if other defenses can duplicate what Buffalo did, once plays break down, that eliminates those giant Tyreek Hill explosive broken plays where Kansas City's been so rich for the last, it seems like, what, three seasons now?
Yeah, 2-3, and they're right there in the thick of being able to very easily reach the postseason.
Sure.
But you are now talking about two games and a tiebreaker that they are short the Chargers. So with where L.A. is and how it has started and where Kansas City is, and I also wonder exactly how active they'll be, since everybody talks trades when it comes to building their fantasy team. I mean, here's Kansas City with a real-life problem.
Yeah.
That Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was a wonderful draft pick, is now beat up a little bit, and who knows when he'll be back at full strength. So maybe they are a player for somebody like Marlon Mack, who I would hate to see go to that team because I think he's very, very good. But this is now a team that's now trying to make stuff happen. And you also wonder exactly where they are with flexibility, because they have spent a lot of money on making their offensive players happy and keeping some of their best defensive performers happy, even though their defensive performers aren't living up defensively.
Yeah, Brian, we've already talked about draft capital today, perhaps for an Edwards-Helaire replacement. Remember what they did, Orlando Brown, with Baltimore during the offseason? They've already lost a little bit of that capital. Remember, what did Kansas City do after that loss to Tampa Bay? Look at this look at this offensive line. They cut Eric Fisher, the former number one overall. Man, you go out and get Orlando Brown. Man, not only did the offensive line get better, but it got cheaper, and it only cost them this new offensive line isn't clicking like they thought it was. The Capitals already damaged draft pick-wise because of the Orlando Brown trade. So is Kansas City about to become the L.A. Rams of the AFC, where they have no capital until 2031? Point is, though, these things that we started seeing a little dent in the armor of Kansas City, it's getting wider and wider, and they're not going to the repair shop anytime soon.
Yeah, the window, we always talk about the window being small for winning Super Bowls. And the Chiefs got theirs, and they got back to it, and they didn't win when they went back to it. But the reason it's so small is what you have to do to keep teams together.
Yeah.
And you've now had to pay Patrick Mahomes big money for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody would. He is the X factor that every team is looking for. They are going to have to find ways to win with him being the X factor without as many weapons and without necessarily the element of surprise that they've had in years past. And I think he can get there. It's just a learning process, I think, for him and for the entire franchise. And maybe for everybody else that's, you know, those of us in the media that are picking them every year to continue doing these amazing things, we all probably also have to step back and take a look and say, well, every team that wins at a high level kind of goes through this, except the New England Patriots of the last decade and a half, because of the roster turnover that is inevitable because of the salary cap and everything else in the NFL.
I do think that while it has been easier for teams, and there's still plenty of incredible veterans that are available because they didn't wind up with spots this year. There are also teams that are always willing to trade. But I also think that the market has never been greater in terms of teams competing for other players. And I think we saw that. The news was that the Patriots were going to cut Stephon Gilmore. That was the initial report. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, which teams are going to sign him? And it's, and then lo and behold, what happens? Carolina says, no, we're not going to compete with to sign him. We're going to trade. We're going to call the Patriots and say, here is a draft pick. We want him. So he goes from potentially having a bidding war to the Panthers saying, we'll give you this. And the Patriots said, sold American. And I think that's what we're going to see with players that could be exactly what Kansas City is looking for and needs. I think, Brian, we might see as competitive a trade market exist in the NFL as opposed to players being cut and re-signing with perhaps the team that they would like to go to.
You think there aren't some teams out there that would like to prevent Kansas City from continuing to build? The trade market's competitive for a lot of reasons because teams want to improve themselves, obviously.
Yes.
But teams don't want to allow other teams to improve themselves, either in the short term or in the long term. Or if, let's say the Chiefs want a player and the Raiders, I don't know, same division, not a factor right now, but they want to improve themselves as well, and they want to hurt the Chiefs. What if you throw out, we'll give you this extra draft pick, the team's going to go back to the Chiefs and say, well, the Raiders are offering this extra draft pick. It's my Nick Saban coaching theory that every team with a head coaching search should offer him $20 million because that means you know that Alabama's going to match it so you can make your competitor pay $20 million. There's a lot of teams out there that are going to raise the price on the Chiefs and or actively work to help them to help prevent them from getting better.
Major League Baseball adds that second wild card team to keep more teams in the race, more viewers, more eyes, more potential transactions. The National Football League adds that extra game. Roger Goodell, before he retires, says he'd like to see the schedule increase even more. More games, more opportunity, higher percentage of playoff possibility, more trades, more transactions before the deadline.
That's Tyler Evans with Brian Rice. I'm John Wilkerson, and today we are here in Pigeon Forge on the Parkway at Johnny Carino's, and they are most proud of their Italian classics, but they're also very, very pleased with to offer the one-of-the-kind signature spicy dishes that really get them excited. Some of their most popular dishes, the spicy shrimp and chicken, the Italian nachos, and their jalapeno garlic tilapia. Whether you love the classics or the spice, it will always be fresh and handmade to order at Johnny Carino's. Check them out at carinos.com. Final segment of this first hour of the NFL Report. We'll dole out a little bit of punishment before we get to the start of hour number two. Stay with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
From the Jacksonville 1, it's second down and goal. Give Henry left side. Oh, yes. Touchdown, Titans. No doubt. He finds it. The Yulee Bulldozer. And the Titans have upped the advantage.
That they did, en route to another convincing victory for the Tennessee Titans over the Jacksonville Jaguars as they got the win, the much-needed win, bouncing back nicely after their loss to, who was it the week before, Tyler Evans?
I believe they beat it. Oh, no, that's right. The Jets didn't lose that game. The Jets actually beat the Titans. So all those fools out there who like to poke fun at the Jets, they just beat you.
You know, you're so proud of that one win, it just is going to sit out there by itself for a long time so you can frame it.
That's awesome. And you know what that also means? I can also cheer for the Jets' original draft pick they're going to get when they go 1-15. And now that Russell Wilson's hurt and it doesn't look like the Seahawks are going anywhere, more than happy to take that first-round pick from that trade they made 2 years ago. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait till the Jets' John Wilkerson next year while I'm in Las Vegas for the 2022 NFL Draft. Get to watch them pick number 2 overall and number 4 overall. That's right, you heard me, Seahawk fans. You guys are going to finish with the 4th West record in football and send us that Jamal Adams first-round pick.
He's so confident that the Jets won't squander those 2 picks like they've squandered so many.
What are you talking about? They're just going to take a backup punter and another quarterback. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, you can take another quarterback who's then in 2 or 3 years going to be traded to Carolina and potentially lead them to a division championship.
Well, be real, dude. If Joe Brady can – that guy – Sam Darnold's still young. Joe Brady, like, come on. It was bound to happen. Bound to happen. And guess what? Who I want to slap today is Brian Rice. Continue, Joe Wilkerson.
Get in line, yeah, Tyler.
That's
it's
right.
A long one this morning.
Tell you what, we're not to that point just yet.
Okay.
So save that
false
for
start
end.
On Ivins.
Applause.
False start,
end.
Ivins.
But we can say, and that Mike Keith with one of my favorite descriptions of Derrick Henry that has grown into more consistent use, and that is the Yuli Bulldozer in terms of Derrick Henry. 29 carries, 130 yards, 3 touchdowns. And when you look at the numbers he's putting up, it has been a minute or two. In fact, it's been more than 40 years, more than 45 years since a running back has had this much to do, this kind of impact on his team's first 5 games than Derrick Henry. And it just so happens to be O.J. Simpson. Back with the Buffalo Bills would be the last one where you'd have to go to see this many 3 touchdown performances, yeah, this many in terms of big rushing games, and how many carries.
You know, I'll bring another running back into the conversation. That's Eric Dickerson, because whenever you had Derrick Henry first accomplishing these feats, it's, well, this is great what Derrick's doing in Nashville, but there's no way he can do it again next year. This is a conversation 2 years ago, because he's not Eric Dickerson. There's not enough tread left on those tires. Then he does it again last year. And now here we sit 5-6 weeks into 2022, and it's, this is cute, but there's no way he can keep this up. Gentlemen, he just keeps putting it up. So instead of comparing him to them of old, maybe we should start maybe carving out of the current, the present. He's doing something that now we'll look 30, 40 years down the road and go, who will do what Derrick Henry's doing now?
Yeah, you think of the of the running back that was just utilized, and they were able to squeeze every ounce of what he had, which was truly outstanding. Priest Holmes is the one that comes to mind for me.
Very nice. X and gets the square.
Because he was incredible. Sean Alexander would be another one who was just outstanding, as good as anybody in the game at the time, but you just saw that candle burn a little bit faster. I think Derrick Henry has the opportunity to last through the season, because he just so far, Brian, has shown that kind of dependability. And the Titans have obviously already dealt with Julio Jones not being available and A.J. Brown being in and out of the lineup. Ryan Tannehill's just hoping that there are guys that he can count on 1 week to the next, and he certainly has that thus far with Derrick Henry.
Certainly hoping for that over the next few weeks, because you have the Bills on Monday night and then a short week to prepare for the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. It ramps up just a bit.
Begins a tough 2-game stretch tonight. You need a lot of those guys healthy if you're going to have a chance to win those 2 games. I think Derrick Henry is obviously the key to it. His toughness, and I have to knock on wood, his toughness and durability has been the reason why the Titans have been consistently competitive the last few years, really since they drafted him. You just hope that continues, because he's a special player to watch, and he's, you know, it hurts me to say that about an Alabama guy, but he is a special player to watch. He's fun, and every time you put the ball in his hands, he can make something special happen down the field, or he can just bowl over a guy for a 3-yard gain if that's what you need. He's a very unique running back in that mold, that he is so good at both, particularly when you factor in the durability that is not, the exception rather than the rule in today's NFL.
Quick nugget, so good, that would be the menu here at Johnny Carino's. We have got more coming up, but right now, time to dole out a
Seamless.
Little bit punishment, and that is time to hand out a nice slap. Slapsgiving. Who leads us off?
I'll just make it quick here. It's the place kicking position. Guys, I know that it's no longer. Oh, did I beat you to it, Brian?
You stole mine.
That's what you get for me.
Stats.
That's what you get when you make fun of me. 13 total missed extra points last week. Mason Crosby had a whole hefty load of them, but last week, the place kicking position, you're the pros. There's only 32 of those jobs in the world. Earn it, keep it.
Most in any single week for the past 34 years, he stole mine, so I have to go backhand and fronthand John Gruden.
All right.
Urban Meyer loves that you took the attention away from him, but John Gruden, I don't know what else to say. That you've lost your job, you're never going to work in the NFL again, and that's sad on a lot of levels.
Yeah. Urban Meyer was like, man, that's messed up. I am going to single out a place kicker, and that would be rookie place kicker who's already won games, Evan McPherson. He hits the ball. He thinks it's a game winner. He starts to celebrate before you see the official say, good. It clips the flag that hangs right there on the upright and then is wide left. So, goodness gracious, make sure it's good, then celebrate your backside off. But until then, just make sure you watch because you look pretty foolish. Here are your just desserts.